97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Excited because coming up here very, very soon, you're going to hear Bees baseball here on these stations. Steve Klauke on the call as the Bees are back. Baseball is back. And to help break it all down, it's media day today for the Bees. But manager Lou Marson, kind enough to join us. Lou, how are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Just how happy are you that you guys are playing baseball again after last year?
Well, it's nice to be back in Salt Lake. It was a long year. Last year, you know, we were at the alt site and we got through it. But, you know, like I said, it's nice to be in Salt Lake. I'm in my office right now getting my printer all set up and had to run the office depot today and run some errands. And we're just trying to get the clubhouse and all the players situated. We're looking forward to it.
Kind of take us back to last year and how things got really bumpy and canceled and some of the things that you did during that off time.
Oh, well, I had a daughter, so we had our first daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you. So I got to spend a lot of time with her. It was, and obviously my wife, so, you know, spend time with the family. But when it first started in spring training, I remember in March, it was the weirdest feeling packing our bags in Tempe, at Tempe Diablo Stadium, and, you know, the season was pushed back or canceled, and they took everything out of that stadium and sent it all back to California, and it was just a weird feeling. But, you know, and then we ended up going to the alt site. We had it in at Long Beach State. So we were all at a hotel in Garden Grove, and then we play our games over at Long Beach State at the college facility. So, it went well. It was a long year, but we're excited to be back here in Salt Lake at the affiliate.
I'm just kind of curious to know what the mindset was. So when you get word that everything's been shut down, when you guys are packing up your stuff, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be maybe 3 weeks or a month, and then we'll get back at it. We'll get back to normal. Was that kind of the vibe when things started to hit for the first time?
Yeah, you know how it is. Everybody has their opinion on what's going to happen. And we thought we'd be back soon. Some guys were thinking later, you know, some were saying, I think, you know, last year, a lot of the major league players, I think they didn't think they were playing last year, you know, so look at guys that are typically really dominant players and they had down years. I think a lot of them were told that they weren't going to have a season. So, yeah. And a lot of them thought that in their mind. So when you think that, you might not prepare as well and, you know, be ready mentally and physically. So I think that happened with a lot of players.
Hey Lou, this morning when I got word that you'd be joining us, I went back and just looked at some of your history and what you were able to do in the sport. And saw that you spent some time in the majors. And I wanted to ask you, because I spent a little bit of time in the NFL, and I talk about how difficult it was to be in the NFL. How difficult is it to stick in the majors?
Oh, man. You know, I feel like the hardest part is staying there. You know, you got guys who are top prospects. They have a lot of hype. They get to the big leagues, which is hard. Don't get me wrong. You know, you go through a lot. It's a grind. Baseball, you know, back when I was playing, it was 162 games in 180 days. You're traveling, not complaining at all. It's great. It's a great life. It's a great, you have a lot of fun with your teammates. But, it's definitely a grind, and, you know, you just got to find a way to get through it. But it was an unbelievable experience playing in the big leagues and the people I met, the teammates, the coaches, you know, getting to play in these great stadiums and traveling on a plane and a charter plane is what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
you know, you get charter flights.
No commercial flights in the big leagues.
Yeah, no commercial flights like we have here at AAA. But, it was a great experience playing. And I thought I would play a lot longer than I did, but I'm loving what I'm doing managing. And look forward to getting back to the big leagues as a manager.
You take into account that you got to play in the majors for a bit, and then you throw in that you've got an Olympic medal. How high a regard do you hold that Olympic medal?
You know, it was crazy. In 08, I got called up. I was with the Phillies in AA Reading. I made the Olympic team. Well, I made the Futures game first. That was in the old Yankee Stadium. And it was kind of a tryout. Our manager for that Futures game was Davey Johnson. It was a tryout for that 08 Olympic team, and I ended up making it. A lot of the guys from that TUSA team did make it. And, we won the bronze, and, obviously we lost to Cuba and to Korea, two very good teams who have played together for a long time. When I was on that 08 Olympic team, it was a bunch of minor league players who weren't on the 40-man roster yet, who they threw together and made a team. And we went to Beijing, and, we ended up winning the bronze, which is an unbelievable thing. Obviously we wish we would have won the gold, but we'll take it. And hopefully, they're putting together that Olympic team for this year right now. So Mike Socha, the old manager here, is running that, managing that. So it'll be cool to see who makes that roster and how they do. But that same year, 08, I, after the Olympics, I got called up to the big leagues with the Phillies. We won a World Series that year as well. So I got a World Series ring as well that same year and made my Major League debut. So it was a great year. It seems like, that's when the market crashed and everything was crashing in the world back in 08. It was nice to have some success personally.
Yeah, no doubt. An Olympic medal, a World Series ring, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Hey, you're still, you're a relatively young guy and fresh out of the game, but right into the manager, the world of managing. Is that something you always kind of wanted to do as a player, was when you had to hang up the cleats to go out and manage?
Yeah, I definitely did. I didn't know when that would happen. Kind of happened organically. My first year I was a hitting coach here in 17 in Salt Lake. Then 18 I went and managed AA in Mobile, and then been here the last 2 years. So I didn't know when it would happen, but it's something I definitely thought I would do. I love it. I love the daily grind of it, the conversation, the communication with the players. And it's just great to still be in the game, do something that I love.
I'm always trying to educate myself and educate others about the minor leagues and especially the Bs. And I'm just interested because you are actually an employee of the Angels, correct? The Angels organization, they are the ones that scout you and come to you in request for you to be the manager, correct?
Yeah. So yeah, Anaheim Angels. Yeah, I'm an employee of the Anaheim, or Los, not Anaheim, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They changed it though. So I always say the Anaheim Angels because that's what it was when I was playing, and I'm just used to saying and it's in Anaheim, so I call it the Anaheim Angels. But anyways, we're employees for the Angels.
So how did that process go? How did your first contact go? Is that something where you put in a resume? Is that something where they come out and find you as a player and a representative? How did that all go?
I was in spring training in 16 as a player, just coming off shoulder surgery. And Billy Epler at that time was our general manager. He's the one that signed me. Last day of spring training, he was flying out to go to Anaheim. He called me in the office, and we had a sit-down meeting, and he asked me if I ever thought about coaching or managing. And I said, yeah, I definitely did. I don't think I'm ready now. I ended up going home. He said, let me think about it for 2 or 3 days. I just wasn't throwing. I could really throw when I was healthy when I was younger as a catcher. And the ball after my surgery, it just wasn't coming out the same. It's crazy how that happens, but it did. And I ended up making the decision to go to the other side. And, it's been nothing but a great experience, and I'm definitely enjoying it.
As a manager of a AAA team, obviously you're a competitor and you want to win, but how do you balance winning with development and realizing that, you know, your best player may be gone at any given day?
You know, it's happening to us right now as we speak. We might only have 9 or 10 players for opening night, position players, mm-hmm. For opening night because of movement from the big leagues. You know, and I get it. That's what it's about. You know, it's getting these guys to the big leagues. Most important thing is to get them ready to play when they get up there in Anaheim. And, you know, they have some needs at the big league level right now, so we're going to be a little thin to start the season, but there's just so much movement. There's just so much movement at this level, and you could be really good at one point of the season, and other times you're thin, and you just have to deal with it and keep your head up and keep these guys positive and keep them having fun.
What was the I love learning about baseball. I'm sorry. I always have so many questions about baseball because it's the one sport I really didn't play because I was terrible at it. I told Scotty I'm afraid of a baseball. Like I can take on a 320-pound pulling guard. I could wrestle anybody, but, you know, that baseball always freaked me out. What was the most difficult pitch to hit, and who is the most difficult pitcher you ever tried to hit against?
Man, you know, the most difficult guy I've faced, I always had a lot of success against left-handed pitchers. Righties I struggled against for whatever reason. I didn't hit right-handed pitching well. Lefties I did. I stayed on the ball more. But I faced Billy Wagner in Fenway Park. He was with the Red Sox at that time, and I felt like no lefties could really get me out, you know, in my mind. But he made me look stupid. So I would say Billy Wagner is one of them. That same series, I think, Tim Wakefield, the knuckleball.
Oh.
I think I struck out 3 times, and I had no chance to hit his knuckleball. But, you know, these guys today are throwing so hard, velocity up in the zone, nasty breaking stuff. You know, I always ask the guys, I wonder what it's like to hit now in today's game because I feel like it's changed. You know, when I was playing, it was a lot of sinker ball pitchers, hit the ball, try to induce ground balls, make guys hit the ball on the ground. Now it's, you know, we want swing and miss. We want strikeouts. And, you know, that's just how the game has changed. But I think, you know, eventually it might go back. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It might go back to more sinker ball pitchers rather than four-seam, you know, 12-6 breaking ball guys. But we'll see where that goes.
Tell me about your roster, what you're excited about, and a couple guys that we should be keeping an eye on when we start heading over to the ballpark.
You know, we have Joe Adell here. He's one of our top prospects. I'm just excited for him to get back into, you know, everyday at-bats. He went up to the big league last year, and he struggled. He did. He struggled. Personally, I didn't think at that time he was ready, but he went up there. He handled the failure in a positive way. You know, that's the toughest thing in this game is how you handle failure because, I mean, you fail a lot in this game. So I think that was positive for him to go because he never failed in the minor leagues, really, right? So he went to the big leagues, and he got that experience. He got that taste, and he saw how hard this game is. So I'm looking forward to being with him every day and helping him get back to that big league level. So like I said, the hardest thing is staying there. So he can stay there and play there for 10 years and have a great career and make a ton of money and help the Angels win a World Series.
As a catcher, was it your job to call for a pitch or was it your job to suggest a pitch?
I think it's a mutual agreement. You know, we both do the homework together. But at the end of the day, it's kind of you give a suggestion. The pitcher has to have conviction in what he's throwing, in my opinion. If he doesn't have conviction in it, I don't think he should throw it because that's when it ends up in the seats or in the gap, you know, for their double or homer. So, you know, these guys, when they toe that rubber, they have to have conviction in what they're throwing and, you know, give it everything they got when they release that ball.
You know, no offense to that Angel Stadium in Anaheim, but when you're a player and you walk out in the field and you walk out to Fenway or Yankee Stadium, I mean, what's that like as a player for the first time, you know, going through the ranks and fighting and clawing and then walking in as, you know, finally getting that call up and then walking into a stadium like that? What's that like?
Oh, man, it's an unbelievable experience, you know, playing Yankee Stadium. I mean, all of them are great. Camden Yards, I had a lot of success swinging the bat there, playing well against the Orioles. So I love Camden Yards. What other ballparks did I play? I mean,
you ever go to Wrigley?
I never played in Wrigley.
Oh, man.
I never played in Wrigley. So, yeah, that's one that, you know, I lived in Chicago when I was a little kid. So I always, you know, but I loved playing in what's the White Sox ballpark called? I forgot the name of it.
It used to be Comiskey, but is it U.S. Yeah, Cellular or something like that?
Yeah,
or?
I forgot what they changed the name to. But anyways, I enjoyed playing there. Going to Chicago is great. I love that city. But like I said, just playing in the big league, being able to put a big league uniform on is just an unbelievable experience.
Were you ever a part of a no-hitter? I'm just curious, as a catcher in a no-hitter situation, how pressured it gets in the later innings.
No, I think I caught Jake Westbrook in Camden Yards. I think I got to look back, but it was a 2- or 3-hit shutout, complete game shutout. And when I caught Derek Lowe, he pitched for the Red Sox for a long time. I always felt like he had a chance to throw a no-hitter. He had that big sinker baller, tight sinker baller, and it's just the guys didn't barrel it. And I caught him when he was 40, though, so it was tough for him to get through 6 or 7 innings, but because of his age. But what a great teammate that guy was, Derek Lowe. What a hilarious, great, supportive teammate. I wish I would have got a chance to play for with him for more than one season, but no hitters on my resume.
We're peppering you with all kinds of fun questions here, but you know, you talk about Tim Wakefield. Could you have caught Tim Wakefield?
I never caught a knuckleball, but I feel like I was talented enough to do that. My hand eye, I think there's just you have to have a special glove for it, and you kind of have to change your style of catching. You know, you can't go normal. You kind of really have to relax your glove. You can't go get it. But I've seen some guys who are really good catchers. I remember we opened up in Toronto, and JP Arencibia, he was our catcher. He was catching Dickey was there. R.A. Dickey. And he could not catch it. I mean, the ball went to the backstop. I don't know how many times that night. But he was a pretty good catcher. But I mean, he could really hit. Defensively, he was a solid catcher, and he just really struggled to catch it. So, you know, I don't know if I could or not, because I never experienced it, but I'd like to say I could.
Hey, what age were you in baseball where you realized that you got it and that you've got a shot, that you could possibly make money and make a living out of this?
Man, I didn't play a ton of baseball in high school. I played just high school, the high school season. I didn't play on those travel teams. I was a big football player. I played hockey. So I was football, hockey, and baseball. So I want to say it was weird. I started catching. I was an infielder. I started catching at the end of my junior year because we didn't have a catcher. And then my senior year, all these scouts started coming because we had another right-handed pitcher named Craig Heyer on my team who was really good, supposed to go high in the draft. They were all out watching him, and they saw me. And I ended up going in the 4th round out of high school that year, and I had no idea what I was getting into. You know, I really wanted to go to college and play both. I wanted to play football and baseball, but the Phillies took me in the 4th round. I ended up signing And
wow,
I don't know when I think probably in the Florida State League when I was in. I made money signing to play professionally, but when I got to the Florida State League, I really figured out. I was probably 19 or 20 at that time that I could do this. I got confidence that I could hit major league pitching, and I ended up getting called up at 22. So I signed out of high school at 17 and got called up to the big leagues at 22. So it was a crazy ride.
Wow. Well, hey, we appreciate – I know it's kind of a random interview, but, man, this was a lot of fun. And let's do it again soon. This was – It was kind of fun to pick your brain on what it's like playing in the minors and going through the hassle and the difficulties on trying to make your way up. But thanks for your time, and let's do it again soon.
Awesome. Hopefully I didn't talk too much. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, not at all. That was fun. Lou Marson, season kicks off tomorrow. Salt Lake Bees in action over there at Spring Mobile Ballpark. Or Smith's Mobile Ballpark. At Smith's Ballpark. We make fun of our guy, Jake. That was a fun conversation, though.
Hey, you knocked his name out of the park, too, which, no pun intended.
That's half the battle right there.
Yeah. Didn't call him the wrong
Just
name.
Just be in the vicinity, please.
That was awesome. I love conversations like that. That's a guy that's played in the majors. That's a guy that has an Olympic medal. Now a guy that's hired by the Angels that's managing the Bees. Obviously, I've got a lot of interest in the Bees and a lot of interest in the Bees roster, but – I was really trying to make it more about baseball because I'm always trying to learn about that game. Baseball is kind of on the back burner of my knowledge of sports.
Well, and it's always good to hear the stories of making your way up and what it's like because, you know, we get stuck in our basketball and football world where you go to college, you play, and then you get drafted and you move on. But what's it like playing in the minors? And, look, you got drafted at 17, didn't make the majors until 22. Those are 5 years. Where he's fighting, trying to keep the dream alive.
Then I was also interested, with his background in catching. I always thought that the high end catchers made the call of the pitch. Am I wrong in that? He said that it's a collaboration.
Yeah,
and he said eventually it comes down to the pitcher feeling confident about the pitch, but. I was always under the impression that you're better catchers. It's kind of like, hey, no, this is the pitch.
Yeah, I think ultimately the pitcher, and Lloyd, you can jump in here. I think ultimately the pitcher has the final say because you'll see those pitchers wave him off and like, nope, give me another one.
Yeah, I think he's spot on with the conviction. They have to be comfortable with the pitch. But then you'll see in pressure situations, you might even see the manager call the pitch. He might call it into the catcher. I've seen that before.
Lloyd, I didn't get a chance.
If you're the Astros, then you see the pitch and then you bang the drum.
Yes.
So everybody knows what the pitch is.
That's the easiest way to do it. I didn't get a chance to ask him. I was going to throw one more question at him. As a catcher, when somebody's stealing second and you've got, you know, an errant ball, but you get your mitt on it, how difficult that is at the majors to throw out that steal at second.
You're probably not going to get them. These guys are pretty quick, unless it's like, I don't know, Matt Williams. Like, you're probably not going to get that guy. If you bobble it, chances are you're probably not going to get him.
But let's say you catch it fairly clean, but it's a high right catch. Or even go, if you're right-handed, high left, and you're leaned away from the turn and the crow hop, like how difficult? What do you think, like 20%?
These guys' arm strength, they're not crow hopping. They're just flicking it.
They're just flicking it?
Yeah, they're flicking it.
And he mentioned that's when he knew that he wasn't going to be in the league anymore is when he had that shoulder surgery, and that ball didn't come out of his hand like it used to.
Like these guys are getting it out of the glove so fast. Like it's unbelievable.
Lightning fast.
All right, coming up next, it's another edition of Total Recall. We're live here at Cedar Hills Golf Club. We've got jazz gear. You want to come by, grab a piece of jazz gear. It's yours. Remember, $12.80 gets you 9 holes of golf Monday through Thursday morning. So you can come out here, play a little golf, grab some jazz gear. And remember, if you want a bite to eat too, 18 holes and a meal is yours for just $40.
$40 or $12.80 for 9 holes, but you got to call the clubhouse. 9 holes between Monday and Thursday. 796-1705. Call the clubhouse and schedule it. $12.80 for 9 holes.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com, joining us. Utah visits on October 9th. BYU visits on November 27th. Is there any juice for those games?
Less so for the BYU game. I mean, they were pretty upset to lose that game going on the road. But, I mean, the Utah one, USC fans circle it all the time. I think if they played BYU more, you would get a little bit more of that. There'll be some kind of revenge factor or whatever. But I think USC fans know that if you're going to win the South, it's got to go through Utah. And, you know, winning the division for 2 years in a row, I think that got a lot of Trojan fans' attention. So I think the Utah one is the one they always look forward to because they know it's really important as far as trying to win the Pac-12.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
.975 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Thanks for making us part of your day as we're live here at Cedar Hills Golf Club. Come on by and grab yourself a piece of gear, shirt, whatever you want. Grab one and let's go.
Yeah,
let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Take one off the table there. Everybody that comes in gets to grab a piece of jazz gear, and we do appreciate everybody coming in and listening and obviously taking advantage of this amazing golfing promotion that we put out today. $40, 18 holes, and you get food. It's awesome. It's here in the notes.
Sometimes it might surprise people down here at Cedar Hills.
Well, because it is kind of a surprising deal. I mean, yeah. $40 for 18 holes and a meal when nobody really needs to put out any type of golfing deal to get traffic.
It's kind of the Hans Olsen negotiating, like, so I'm going to spend $40 on a round. Yeah, that's great. And you're going to throw in a mill too, right?
And then they say no, but then we go with it. No, we didn't.
No.
It's in the notes.
Yep.
So please call 801-796-1705 and get on the T-shirt.
Well, let's go. Let's have some fun for sure. All right, Hans and Scotty, time for Total Recall. And, you know, you brought up an interesting point, and this led to our conversation in terms of the Jazz. Now, with Donovan Mitchell out, Mike Conley out, those are a lot of attempts that are left available for the rest of this team to try to pick up those shot attempts. We thought originally it might be Joe Ingles, but we talked about where those shots are ultimately going to.
The Utah Jazz have played 4 total games without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell on the court.
Yeah.
4 games without those two. And they are currently 3-1 in those 4 games without your 2 guards, your 2 all-stars. You've beat Sacramento, you've beat Toronto, and you've beat the Spurs, and you lost to Phoenix without your 2 all-stars. You've played 9 total games without Donovan Mitchell on the court. And in those 9 games without Donovan, you're 5-4. So not as good of a situation. So this morning, Scotty, I was looking at some of the games without Donovan Mitchell. I actually went through the 9 games instead of the 4 games without Conley and Donovan. And I was looking at who's trying to pick up the slack or who has picked up the slack. And there's one guy that really stands out. When I started to crunch the numbers on it, it made more and more sense. So, for instance, I went back and I looked at Joe Ingles, all right? Joe Ingles, through these 9 games without Donovan Mitchell and these, you know, throwing the 4 games without Mike Conley, is averaging 8.4 attempts from the field per game in these 9 games. His season average so far this year is 8.4 attempts per game. You would have thought that Joe Ingles, his attempts would have boosted.
Yes.
You'd have thought that he'd have put that weight on his shoulders, that he'd had more minutes, more attempts. What I ended up finding was that the attempts have fallen to Bojan.
Yeah.
Bojan Bogdanović averaged 15 attempts with Donovan out. That's three more than his season average. So he's picked up three more attempts per game through these nine games without Donovan. He's averaging 21.5 points per game with Donovan out. He's got a season average of, I think it's just over 16 points. But he's averaging 21.5 points without Donovan, and even more when you look at the four games without Donovan and Mike. So Bojan Bogdanović has done a great job of picking up the slack, pushing the tempo, taking some of that extra weight. And he's not just doing it from the perimeter, as you've noted many times. He's doing it in all ways, shapes, and form offensively.
Yeah, he's tacking the rim way more than what we've seen from him in a Jazz uniform going back to last year and even in the beginning part of this year as well. And I don't know if that's – I think there may be a couple things here. And Coach Lacombe and I talked a little bit about that on the pregame show a couple nights ago, is there could be an element of trusting your body a little bit more, being a little bit more healthy so you feel like you can attack more. Also, maybe not as much – because Gordy Chiesa used to say this all the time, if your shot's not falling, attack the rim. If you're not getting a good look and your shot's not falling for you, try to get to the rim, try to get to the free throw line, get your confidence up, and then start to stretch it out again. And I don't know if there's an element of that where he's realizing that, you know, there was a stretch where it wasn't falling for him from the outside, so let's try to get to the rim and let's try to attack a little bit more. I don't know what the case is, but his ability to get to the rim and finish at the rim has been really, really good, especially over the last month or so.
It really has, and it's nice to see Bojan kind of understand the situation and have the ability to pick up that slack as it's needed. So I'm encouraged by Bojan, and again, as they go into this game tonight without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell, he's a guy you got to lean on.
So there you go. It's our conversation from earlier today. If you missed any part of the show, just go to 1280thezone.com or any of our podcasting platforms as well. You can find it there.
Bojan Bogdanović picking up the slack. He needs to do it again tonight in order for the Utah Jazz to get a win against San Antonio, you know, second in a row. And I will continue to bring up the example of New Orleans and Golden State. Golden State let their guard down, blew out New Orleans just a day before losing to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Last night was the game that they lost in. And you got the Suns tonight that are in a matchup with the Hawks. Is that right, Scott?
Correct.
Suns and Hawks?
I believe so.
Suns have a really good chance of winning that. A lot of weight is put on the Utah Jazz to keep the one seed, but also San Antonio's in a dogfight with New Orleans for the 10 seed. It's a perfect matchup. You should get exciting play tonight and a very exciting game.
Final segment coming up next. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Have you showed Lisa this story?
No.
Will you put the headset on her and show her that story?
Okay, now you be respectful while I'm gone, okay?
Okay.
Hey, fellas.
Gordon is back. Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, she's not here. I think she's on a walk or something.
Now, wait a minute. Did you eat something?
I grabbed a snack.
I didn't even go look for it.
I saw a couple of M&Ms, so I chucked them in my mouth, and then I went to the other side of the house to look for it.
You did not. You just went to the kitchen to grab a snack.
It's okay, isn't it?
Sure, they're waiting on air for me, but heck, I'm hungry.
Might as well, yeah, eat some.
No,
I got a snack.
Catch The Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5, 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.
All
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Fun show today. Week's halfway over.
Do I really turn into a second grader when I'm talking to anybody that knows anything about baseball? I've asked too many questions.
I think both of us do.
I did ask a lot of questions, but
neither of us played the game. Like, it wasn't even available where I was growing up.
Nope.
And so, you know, I had no, like, you know, I watch baseball. I like baseball.
I like to be at the park.
I know enough to be dangerous.
I know enough about baseball that I was terrible at it. And because I was not good at it, I didn't have a lot of interest in it.
It's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
You gravitate towards what you're good at.
Right. And then you make fun of the people that play the sports that you're not good at.
Yeah, exactly.
To make them feel less than you. And that their sport doesn't matter.
I think we're hitting something here.
Hold on, though, Lloyd. But let's be honest. I've told the truth. I didn't play baseball because my eye-hand coordination is not good, and I was deathly afraid of that baseball.
I did think it was interesting you did not bring up the fact that you struck out at T-ball.
Not every time. Not every time.
Did the ump really just say, you're out? Like, did he, like, it was like, hey, big fella, give it another crack.
Yeah, they kept setting it up on the, you know, the first one, couple I cranked like out of bounds, and then I hit the tee and the ball fell straight down. And
finally, the ump just threw it out there and said,
no, run, run.
No, he did not.
Run.
He never did that.
Run that way. Go that way.
No, not towards the fudge. No.
I remember
the old trailer with the nachos and the drinks.
Not hands. Towards the nachos.
I remember the kids out in the outfield yelling, heavy hitter, back up, heavy, heavy hitter, you know, and because I was a big kid. And they're like, heavy hitter, and they backed up a little bit. And then when I finally got a hold of one, it barely got back
to
the
pitchers. They're like, bring it in,
bring it in. And then they all came close. He's not as big and strong as he looks. Close
You're
it
like,
in.
I was bunting. That's what it was.
And then you got the PA announcer. Hey, keep your heads up for a ball that might be coming off the tees directly into the stands. So I was like, man, this is not my sport.
What do you wish you were better at, clogging or baseball?
Oh, that's not. What do I wish I was better at? Come on, man.
Well, I mean, you shared some pretty traumatic moments from your youth, and they seem to revolve around either baseball or clogging.
I was run off the clogging floor by a jerk.
Troy.
Freaking Troy Johnson.
Who we've seen.
He said that it would take up to 2 to 3 hours for me to stop wiggling after I stopped clogging. That's what he told me once. That's what he told me that.
No, so my, he didn't.
He did. He said really? My body would continue to wiggle for 2 to 3 hours after I clogged. And also, our kick-up kid shirts were way tight, like spandex tight. So you saw everything moving. And you could see the fudge that I would try to hide in my side pocket. Hey,
sir, boy, you got a turtle in your pocket.
I've told you this, it's the absolute truth. I would get 2 pieces of almond bark, and I would clog while I'm eating almond bark.
Stop it.
Yeah, my teacher would be like, you got to put the almond bark down and put your hands behind your back because, you know, you had to do the diamond behind your back with
Elvira.
Certain moves. But I loved almond bark way more than clogging. I'd rather put down the clogging and eat the almond bark.
I like turtles.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but Troy's mean comments ran me right off
the
floor.
Yeah, that's cold-blooded. Those comments are uncalled for.
And then.
But Troy paid for those comments later on, right?
No. No, and then this is what really sucked, and I'm not even kidding you with this. When that stupid Blind Melon song came out and that little girl in the bee outfit.
No.
Not even kidding you. Troy called me that bee girl. And this don't laugh. He called me the Blind Melon Bee.
Oh, that's awful. That is awful. I can't believe you didn't take out some frustrations when you grew into that body of yours and you were causing all kinds of pain and discomfort as a junior, senior. You didn't seek out Troy.
I wanted to. No, nothing good comes.
Where's the blind melon girl now, huh? Let's go.
As I'm clogging on his belly.
Exactly. All right, big show coming up next. Big thanks to Cedar Hills for letting us. Oh, boy, no. Live here at Cedar Hills, $12.80 gets you 9 holes of golf. Plus, again, plus the cost of a cart.
Are you ready?
$40 gets you a round of golf, round of 18, and a meal as well. Let's make it happen. All you got to do is call 801-796-1705.
I might need to take the day off tomorrow. Might be for the better of the show and the station.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I just want